Let's go ahead and call this meeting to order with roll call.
Murphy.
Here.
Buffo.
Here.
Barry. Dean.
Yes.
Robbins.
Here.
Stuber.
Here.
All right, want to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome you to remain standing if you choose while we pray. Lord, we thank you for this village. We thank you for the people that reside here. We thank you for the businesses that have chosen to come here. Father, we thank you for growth in both of those areas this year. And Father, we just thank you for wisdom as a board for us to take up the causes that are right and for hearing the hearts and the voices of our people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, thanks, sir. All right. Can't get that to work. Computer's froze. All right.
Good thing he
wants to do an automatic start. So I'm trying to delay it. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll start with public comments. We'll start with Reg, so we'll get you out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Madam Clerk, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for having me. Reg Ankrum here. I'm from Simec Energy. We do your electric aggregation and serve as your electric consultants. I've distributed a news release that you're welcome to issue and put on your website and so on. The release provides a couple things. Number one, it would let your constituents know that the electric rate in the next contract actually drops 6%, dropping from 4.88 cents to 4.584 cents. That was, you obtained that in your recent bid. There were four major suppliers who wanted you and bid on you. Homefield Energy of Collinsville won. So Homefield will be your provider. It has been Mid-American for the past couple of years. That contract ends in April. Homefield will pick that up immediately. Just so you know, every constituent within the city will be alerted by the new supplier, Homefield, in a mailing that they expect to drop at the week of February 7th. So everybody will get notification of the new program, the new rate. Nothing in terms of terms and condition change. So everything basically remains the same. The one difference is the rate goes down about 6%. I'm really happy to tell you that yours is one of the lowest in the state. There are about 600 communities that have municipal electric aggregation. Some range quite a bit higher, as much as 7 and 8 cents per kilowatt hour. You were among the 10 lowest in the most recent contract. This is a little lower, but we won't know until June just where you are, but I can tell you're probably among at least the 20 lowest in the state. So it's a good rate. You did a nice job in doing it. The mayor signed the contract, and you may recall when the village initiated or implemented electric aggregation, you authorized the mayor to execute the contracts because the suppliers give us only one day, and that's the day of the bid. And after that bid goes away. We don't have time under the Open Meetings Act, which requires 48-hour notice, to bring you all together to execute the contract. There'd be no problem with that. But because we don't have that time, the board 2 years ago did authorize the mayor to execute the contract. So anyway, I've given you the release. There's not a lot more that I can say about it, but I would be happy to answer any questions you might have this evening. Again, it starts with meter readings in April, and it will end in June of 2022, excuse me.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Any
Mayor.
Questions?
Thank you. Thanks for the party the other night. It's wonderful.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff, you want to stay there or you want to come up?
Hey, well, I'm going to wind it, so if you don't mind, I'll just stay down.
That's fine.
I'll come in regards to who are the kind of business that they're like meeting the call rock. On my place at 314. I bought Clark Woodworth's old home, Clark, one of his rentals, right across from the park. And the thing is, what I was hoping to do is come and visit just a little bit with you guys. When I was on the board, the idea was the next place I was going to would be the park in that area. And so with that being said, Ryan Perry was part of that, and I had Randy Bacher, and I had Randy Grace, because Randy Grace does a lot for the Park District as far as it goes. And they were going to work along with Farnsworth, which I know Farnsworth is no longer with us. But the thing is, what was supposed to happen is they were supposed to find some kind of situation where we could get that taken care of as far as the water running. Since then, like I said, I've taken over the property, and just to show you, we've had these rains, and I realize we get these rains aren't the usual rains as far as that goes. But the thing is, just to share with you, I've been pumping since Friday night. The first time around, we did it from Friday night all the way to Monday with one pump. I actually paid a lot of money to try to get that taken care of. And just to share with you, the pump that ran, I had a pump that actually ran from Friday till Monday, or excuse me, Tuesday, the first rain that we had, just to share with you guys. And it was nonstop. It just continued to run. And what I actually had to do is I actually had to put three more pumps in there to try to keep water from filling up the basement. Rob had actually called me up because the thing is, what I did is I ran lines where I could to try to get rid of the water. And the one neighbor, which I have met, Rob, just to share with you, he's a heavy equipment operator. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I told him, I said, hey, it's not my intention to flood anybody, but I get this water out. So what I did is I took him, I showed him the basement that we had, and it just blew him away to see how much water was coming in. So the thing is, it leads me to think that we probably have a tile that's broke. I know that when I first bought a house over by Oscar Hicks, the old place, and a lot of people know where that is, some people don't, but we actually had a tile there. It was like 9 foot down where they found it, but we had to dig around for it as far as that goes. So with that being said, Rob had also mentioned that the catch basin in front of this house that I have would take everything I could throw at it. Well, let me tell you something, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I wish someone had been there with me because you couldn't even find it. The water was so high it was going across and you couldn't even see it was going over to the next neighbor, which would be just south of me. So the thing is, I know there's definitely a problem, and I welcome anybody to come, because right now the pump that's been running since Friday is still running nonstop. And I tell you what, it gets awful tiresome, to be honest with you. You're getting up every couple hours to make sure that these pumps are running. And of course, when it freezes outside and you're pumping outside, if one of the pumps stop, it freezes up the line. So the thing is, we're not getting much sleep as far as that goes. And like I said, it did take out when Clark was there. It took out the furnace, because I thought when I bought this place, the furnace was fine, it actually took it out. So I'm putting another one back in it. And that was the whole thing. So just kind of sure, kind of wrapping it up, I just want to know where we're at with that process, to be honest with you. Because otherwise, the only option I have, and I don't want to do this, but the only option I have is to fill up the basement, which then the neighbors are going to flood. Because I actually sit higher than they do, but my basement's acting as a retention pond for the whole neighborhood, at least for that area. And at least the guy, Tyler Richardson, actually acknowledged that. He goes, you pick that up, I'm going to get in trouble. I said, well, what I'm hoping to do is see if there's something that the village can do where we can kind of, you know, get back on that course and at least try to find out what's going on as far as I go.
I was looking at the TIF map, and that house is not in the TIF.
It's not.
But that street in front of it is. Is that correct?
I know that the park is, Rob. I can't remember.
I think the street, right in front of there is. So the street would be where the drainage would probably be, correct?
It could be. But it depends, like I said, just to share with you, Rob, like when I first ran on the board for 12 years ago, or of course when I didn't run, mm-hmm. The idea was we had to find out what was going on. And like I said, it took a while to find where that tile was. And even though we tried to, I don't know if they televised it, I forget what it was at the time. But anyway, the thing is, it just took them a while to find it. Once we found it, then the thing is we could alleviate that. But what I'm actually doing is just recycling water over, except for what's going to that catch basin.
Yeah, and then when the catch basin overfills, then you're just recycling it.
And that night, I would have welcomed anybody to come that night to see, because Rob mentioned, he goes, you know, Jeff, he said, that catch basin will take all you throw at it. And I said, well, I wish you could have been there that night, because Barb and I are both up there sitting there going, where else do we run this water at? Because it just, he couldn't take it.
And I think the catch basin across the street was not taking water, is that right, Matt?
I don't think it was.
Because we got Woody here. Did you stuck something in that catch basin to poke around?
The one doesn't work across the street, but the other two, his and across in Dave Meadows' yard, works very good.
Any idea why the one across the street wouldn't be Is it just plugged or?
I tried to rod across the street from the south of him and I only got like 20 feet. Something was broke or jammed. But that doesn't, that's still, the tile from his yard and Catfish is still drained and connected because the one right west of there in the park, that drains real good too. The one north of him drains real good. I don't know the water you're throwing because I knew that basement did that in the first place. I don't know that it's a busted tile. It'd be a tile in your property. Actually, it wouldn't be that drain because that drain up front, if it was plugged or damaged or something like that, then it would really back up in your yard too and flood that whole area out real bad.
Right, that night it was mine. That thing could, like you said.
Well, yeah, we had 6-5 inches of rain too, or whatever. I mean, when we get that abundance of rain, you know as well as I do, nothing can take the water. Nothing. I mean, it's, you got places that drain real good, they got water over it too. I mean, it just had no.
What's it doing? What's it doing right now? Like with no rain?
It's running full blast.
Is it running full blast still?
And I apologize, man, because I actually gave you a call and I couldn't get back with you guys in a meeting, so I apologize to you. But like I said, I welcome anyone to come over. It's running full blast. It's just not shutting off at all. And like I said, so, you know, that's all I could do is just keep doing it. And so I've since asked someone else to come in to look at it as far as that goes. It's hard to tell. I mean, we can presume it's on my property or the city's side. I don't care where it is.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, just across the street from me, where it's a lowland, where Randy Graves was trying to fight right there where the veterans thing is.
Okay.
Water fills up there. Back towards Ryan Perry, it was coming across the street.
Yeah, I talked to Ryan about it a little bit, and he was having some water over there, too.
I was going to say, and I really feel that, you know, there's something going on. It could be that the infrastructure itself isn't big enough to handle all of it. That was part of the problem when we started.
Matt's nodding. He's agreeing with you.
Yeah,
that was part of the problem when we first started, when we started going around Tolono. The infrastructure back when they created Tolono, when Tolono was growing, was fine. But then as they continued to add more and more on to that infrastructure that worked back then, they just stressed the whole system, and therefore that's why people were getting backed up.
Well, Matt and I talked a little bit Monday with Tim. I mean, just kind of briefly about it, touched on it. We had another meeting about something else. And,
sure.
And the yellow on that map is kind of the, was kind of the plans.
Yeah.
Because that.
Reynolds Vine, right there by the park, has another area there.
Sure.
I know Galloway, or Linden and Whitehead, there's some issues over there. Me and another guy, we came in on a Saturday trying to get another one.
Oh, yeah.
There's no access points on the main line. Everything's coming in and blind connects into that storm line.
Sure.
So there's not really a good way to clean that main line out without the possibility of losing our, you know, our jet line on the suck truck. So there's just not any good ways to do that. And it's undersized. And I'm sure it's full of marine roots.
And again, you're recycling your water, Jeff.
You think televising it? You think it's worth it to televise?
We could. I mean, there could be some spot repairs, but I think it would probably be beneficial to replace those lines. They're undersized. I think it's like a 10 and an 8 inch.
Yeah.
Well, then again, too, he's recycling. Like I said, he's recycling that water.
Yeah. We've been talking about it on Monday because after I talked to you, we talked about it with the engineers and looking for some kind of solution.
Sure.
You're not forgotten about. So.
I appreciate that.
You had another question too, and I had a meeting with the TIF lawyers after that. As the TIF fund goes, and we're going to have another TIF meeting, and they'll explain it a lot better than I can. Three years ago, we had to put money back in the TIF because it was too much money was spent out of it. So I think we put, and correct me, $30,000 in it, like 3 years ago, and then last year we put money in it, and then this year, or 2019, it was almost $9,000 negative. 2020, we'll actually have $2,461 in the TIF that we can use, because the things are starting to get paid off. But then after that, like 21, we'll have $65,000 in there. And then 22, we'll have $260,000 in there. And then it keeps going up like $60,000 or so, and my computer just shut off, so now I can't tell you any more numbers. So, but by 26, when it's over, we'll have like close to $1 million back in there.
Right.
So
I had that graph, and I showed that with you guys when I was on the board as far as it was, how it actually worked.
This was like a fresh one she just gave me, too, because it was like, oh, I couldn't understand what she was doing, so she gave me that graph, and it made sense. So eventually we'll have a little bit of money where we can flex a little bit and start doing some more drainage or whatever we're going to do with the TIF. But we'll get on and look and see where we can move some water from your place. So keep in contact with Matt, and then maybe if you're home during the day, you and Matt can get together and maybe walk the property. Like the rest of us. I get it.
And just to let you know, because that was the other thing, you were kind of visiting with me, this is kind of off, but you was talking about our sewer plant that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to keep in mind when you're talking about that, the sewer plant itself, because at the time, a couple of our board members, when I was on the board, felt that we could use that little dollars for that thing, but like, for the, you know, use any TIF dollars that we could for that. You can't do that. What you can do, and Mark can jump in here at any time, you can only use between 20% to 25% of TIF for that, because it's for TIF. The rest of it would have to come from the old part of town as far as it goes. There's a misconception thinking that you can use 100% of TIF to fix that as far as that goes. You can only use the percentage of TIF that you actually have in it. And I think we have about a third is what it is, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we can't use any of this TIF for the sewer plant, because it's not in the sewer plant district.
No, that's in the old part of town. The new part, like I said, you can use some of that TIF for the TIF area. So there's about 20 to 25% that you can use of TIF. And then the other part of it would actually come out of the old part of town, just to share it with you.
Okay. All
right. Mark?
Yep, that's correct. The point is that the sewer plant supplies the whole town, including the TIF area. So to the extent that you can show that it's that the sewer plant serves TIF, you can document how you can spend TIF money, even though the plant is outside of the TIF.
Perfect. All right. Anything else, Jeff?
That's it, but I appreciate it because they're talking about more rain coming up here.
I know.
And I'll tell you what, I didn't
I'm tired of rain.
You and I both. I didn't invite anybody to show up. If that shows up about 2 o'clock in the morning, have everyone of you come over and take a peek to see what we're fighting.
I've had running water in my house for 18 years now, nonstop. It's a tile problem there too, but I haven't done anything about it. But it's been 18 years nonstop.
I can't speak for you, Mike. I'm coming in here to speak for what I have here. And I think you know that the furnace is gone and so is hot water here. So the thing is, what I don't want to do is keep continuing to replace them. So the reason I'm coming in is to see if there's any help that the city might be able to provide.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep in touch with Matt and we'll see what we can do. Tony? Come on up.
How you doing? Tony Moore, Municipal Manager with Republic Services. So just kind of wanted to come and talk to a little bit about you guys about a potential view on a municipal contract for waste services in your community. So kind of the same where you heard about your energy, right, where you guys get to go reach out and get bids for that and everything else. That's what I'm talking about here, but only for your trash services for your residential people. So the best thing about it, first and foremost, is obviously a lot of us get very competitive in that state. So right off the bat, you see a lot of savings that your residents are going to have immediately. Another good thing about us, at least, is we're going to provide the carts and everything for your community as well. So people don't have to go out and buy anymore. There's no more fees if it gets broke or anything else that they have to pay. We're just going to come bring it in. We're going to deliver it at no cost to make sure people have a place to put their trash. Municipal services, we offer at no cost. So if you have any municipal services that you're paying for now, a can here at the police department, over at your village offices, whatever the case may be, we put that in as part of the contract, basically just to kind of help give a little bit back to you guys to put back out to the community. And we also offer community cleanup as part of the contract as well. So if there's any kind of cost that's associated with that now, that would obviously go away, and we'd be able to come in and help the community at least one time a year do a pickup.
And the thing I like is recycling.
Recycling, yes. So definitely some great options with recycling. I think right now, even if you kept it where it is, but put that as part of a municipal contract, you would be saving a good portion of money from what I understand of what you're paying. You also could elect to look at what that cost is to go to the curb, so that everybody just have a single stream recycling right there can at their door that they take out every other week, you know, stuff like that to get picked up. That's a good thing about an RFP, right, is you can say, hey, not only do I want to see it this way, I want to see it this way when it comes to pricing and things like that. But yeah, there's definitely, just from what I viewed, there's definitely some great cost savings that you guys could bring to your community with a municipal contract, whether it be with Republic or any of my competitors.
How would that be billed? Would you bill us, or and then we bill the customer?
So that is the most cost-effective way to do it. And again, I'll speak for only Republic when I say this. We actually take that cost savings back and give it to your residents. So because you're doing the single billing, we no longer have to create billing to send out to, you know, all the residents here. However, we can do it individually billed to each customer. There's just a little bit more of a cost associated with that, because obviously we have to roll that into what our capital is.
Questions?
When you talk about community cleanup,
mm-hmm.
What are the... We've done electronics, we've done just... flat out community cleanup.
Yeah.
What are you talking?
Well, I'm gonna be real honest with you. I want nothing to do with your electronics. Good luck trying to get rid of that. I joke. We could show you that, but I promise you won't like what we do. But so basically, we're looking more at like bulk items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couches, TV stands, not the TV themselves. Any kind of white goods, we kind of look at that as well, as long as the right items have been taken out of them. If that makes sense. So like Freon out of your refrigerator, stuff like that, because obviously we can't put those kind of things into the landfill with EPA. But basically, you know, couches, any kind of bigger item that you may be able to replace throughout the year that you're just like, how do I get rid of this?
What about mattresses?
Yep, mattresses. Yep.
Them too. Okay.
Yep. And with a lot of our communities as well, you know, you have that one cleanup that we do a year. They'll also put in the contract to set a price of what somebody wants to do if they just have a bulk item they want picked up throughout the year. So really, even that could be like $15 each time they call to have somebody come pick something up.
Okay.
You know, and that's significantly cheaper than if you took it to the landfill or something else and tried to drop it.
Okay. Do we have something with pricing?
Well, we'd have to put it up to bid.
Yeah.
And then everybody would submit a bid for the town. I think we have about 1,300 houses or so-ish.
I would say if you, and this is a rough estimate, but if you left your recycling where you're at, the way the community is, just did trash at the door, you're probably somewhere in the range of $14 to $16 per month, and that's a really rough idea. If you brought the recycling to the curb, you'd probably be a little bit more to like 18 to 20. Again, very rough numbers, could be more, could be less.
And that's one tote per house or customer?
So that's, it would be however you guys designed it. We only specifically do 96 gallon cans. If there is some kind of need that somebody can't maneuver that can, whether they're elderly or special needs or whatever the case may be, we'll actually go up to the house and get it for them because we know, like, hey, we're asking you to have this handy.
What about people forget?
So the biggest, that's another
that's
great,
all the time at our yeah. house.
So it's another great thing about municipal contract is once we're done at the end of the day, because we'll be able to do your community in, I would say, probably 5 hours, we can swing by the office and just say, hey, has anybody called in? Has anybody said they missed? So that way we can try to get it before we leave. The other good thing about us is we are literally right down the road in Champaign. So if we had to come back to get some stuff, we could. Obviously, we would have a tough time coming back just for one home. But, you know, if it was one of those things as the first few times that we do pickups, people are still trying to get used to things, like, obviously, we would help with those situations.
Cool. Something I think I'm interested in, I can't speak for the rest of the board, but I know we visited a while back, and that's why I want you to come to the board and kind of explain things. But it's something I want to discuss, so.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's a couple things that you, if you decide to progress forward, that you should definitely look at. One is the recycled materials. I caution you, a lot of our competitors, I'm not trying to bash them, I just want to open subject so everybody can see it, have put in there now, because recycling has gotten so bad, if they can't find buyers, that they are allowed to put those in the landfill. Again, just speaking for Republic, it's one thing that we have not done yet. You know, obviously that does mean that our costs would be a little bit different than most people in recycling. However, at the end of the day, you have that same money that your recycling is actually going where it should be going to get recycled. We are definitely the front runner in recycling across the nation. Again, costs that are associated with that means that we're continuing to do things the right way. You know, when China shut off a lot of things, for those of you who know that or don't know it, we actually ended up going from where we were dealing with about 13 countries to now over like 35 that we're spreading everything out. So a lot of different changes, a lot of big moving parts. However, again, that's our way to continue to do it right because that's what we should be doing. So I definitely caution those kind of things and really, right, having your lawyer overlook everything and make sure it's exactly what you guys want.
Okay.
Appreciate and I'm happy to help if anybody has any questions. I know your clerk has my contact information. Feel free to reach out and grab it. And, I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm happy to send example RFPs. We don't create them. They would be RFPs that other communities have created.
That would be helpful, actually.
Yeah, I'm happy to send those so you can just kind of get an idea of what people have done in the past.
Perfect.
What communities do you have around here?
So.
That you have sold contracts.
Yeah. The Champaign area, I don't think we have too many. I know that my competitors have a few here. When you go over to the Danville side, we have a few more there over in Indiana. But I can definitely give you a list of who they are. I can give you references so you can call them and talk to them and everything like that.
Cool.
It's actually a good idea to make that part of the RFP, just so you know, somebody can be a front runner of research of like, hey, because again, obviously prices are going to look good, but you want somebody who's really a reputable company as well.
Cool. Anything else, guys? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Does this do anything for businesses too, or just residents?
So that would be up to the board as well, whether you wanted it to be a what we call franchise, which means we literally take over the entire community. So we would give your businesses set pricing as well. It would be controlled under the contract just as much as the residentials are, everything like that. You can also put in that, no, you can't have a franchise, but we want our community to have X amount of price for business. It would probably be a little bit more on that sense just because we wouldn't have a guarantee of what we're going to get from it, but we could put a set price in the contract.
Cool. Perfect. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
Thank you very much.
Did you want to talk?
Yes, not too long ago, I had a roof replaced on my house.
Okay.
And my name is Stan Christensen. And this is something I'm bringing up to be beneficial for the whole community. This has to do with building codes. Insurance company didn't want to pay because there was no building code to put down half-inch sheathing or decking on the roof. replacing that, but they'd replace everything else on the road. And if there was a code, they would have replaced that stuff. So now I got to pay the contractor, and that amount's pretty expensive. And this would probably happen to everybody here too, because there's no code, and it's just a simple building code of a basic half inch minimum.
We're actually rewriting our building codes. We have a hearing. When is the hearing for the building codes? It's next month on the 18th.
The 18th.
Yeah, we're having, because we've actually rewritten all of the building codes.
Yeah.
We've just went through all of the ordinances in town to the codifications.
Yeah.
Ready
to go. I had a contractor tell me this. He says, that's unusual. And they build the code and everything, and they also found out that Champaign County doesn't even have a code.
Really?
So the contractor is out of Bloomington, but they were kind of surprised. And he explained it to me. I said, whoa. So besides my deductible, it's another $1,700 for the replacement of the blackboard, which is part of the roof. And I said, oh, if it was in the code, and I talked to the insurance adjuster, they said they would have covered it. This was due to high winds last year during the summer, but I went up and replaced my shingles. I didn't have anything leaking, and fixed most of them that I could. I had a tree come down. I paid for that. Insurance didn't cover it, but it didn't do any damage to anything else. And that was $450. And that took me a week or two to get just somebody to trim the, or cut the tree down, because everybody was snowed under. I mean, they were really busy, all the tree cutters and stuff. I think I called about 10 of them. They were all busy. And it took about 2 weeks before I got somebody. It was about the 29th of May. And I took pictures of that, but I had wind damage to the house and stuff. And just happened a contractor was coming by here in town 2-3 weeks ago, and before Christmas, he says, oh, your insurance, you've got enough damage, your insurance cover this, no problem. And sure enough, the insurance agent adjuster come out, and he says, yeah, I'll replace the whole roof. But then come to find out later on, they're not paying all of it because they didn't want to pay for the plywood because there was no code. Mm-hmm. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's part of the roof.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you guys know, was, you can put that in the code. And my contractor, he'd love for me to get a little text or something that you guys have got a code, because they'll just turn that bill over to the...
This is Wade's information.
Mm-hmm.
He's planning a zoning board.
Okay.
And they're working on that. So give him a call.
I will.
And explain that to him so they can put that in the code before we vote on it.
This will save any homeowner thousands.
Yeah. That's maybe we can save some money
for everybody in town.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing.
So this would be beneficial to a lot of other people too.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, give Wade a call though.
Okay, dude. Thanks a lot.
That's my information on the front.
But they were a really, really good contractor. They took care of everything.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. All right, Matthew, you want to talk? Rena, did you want to say something before you took off? Did you want to say something?
Hi, all.
Hi.
Good thing. Have a nice night.
I think the one trash service would be a benefit to our streets.
I know. I agree.
Instead of having four or five different companies coming into town, you know, running the same route. So,
I just like the fact it would save us a fortune also on recycling, and we won't be paying for trash service at this village buildings or the fire department.
But it can't always be about us.
It'll save. We actually did the numbers to save off of the one trash service. We'll save quite a bit.
One of the things we did receive last week was a schedule for to get the bid out for the East Street lift station. So, hoping you got all that. 31st, Donahue would do revisions and quality control review. The advertisement for bids would be February 3rd. 2 weeks after that, the 17th would be the bid opening. And then the 18th, Tim would come in and give his recommendation for bid on that, or for award. We've already had two people inquire about the project, and it's not even out for bid yet. So I think there's going to be hopefully some good prices out there. This is a good time of year to try and get contractors to come in and get work early in the year so they know they've got the work. So
we also talked with Tim a lot about fencing. What else did we talk to him about around that project?
Right. To make sure we're going to be temporary fence would be substantial enough around the ball fields. We did receive today the easement from Precision Engineering.
And we're going to not cover up the sidewalk, right?
No.
Is that what they decided? It was Randy's.
It would. I think that cuts part of the corner off of the sidewalk, but construction would not interfere with the sidewalk.
We are probably going to shut down the street, though, so they can put their dirt and stuff in the street.
Yep.
Any issue with Fisher being right there, blocking his drive?
I don't.
It won't be crossed.
It'll be over the other side.
Yeah.
South side of Walnut?
South side of Walnut, yeah. The only thing I can see possibly, I know there's a lot of parking. People park along there for T-ball games in the summer. That's the T-ball field, so it might interfere with some parking. But
well, it'll be summer, you can walk.
Yeah.
Be good for a walk.
That easement, the total land area for that is 1,023 square feet, or 0.024 acres, so there's not much ground. We're not taking that ground from the park district. That would just be a permanent easement. So that's something we probably have to have Mark write up a document so we can get an agreement between us and the park district. So
the other thing too is we're gonna have a completion date. So when they start the project, they'll have like 120 days to complete the project. Because I don't want to run into the same thing we ran into with this building, where it just drug on forever. And there'll be penalties if they don't get it done in the time frame. I mean, we understand if there's weather and like stuff like that, but they got to have reasons. So I like that fact. If you guys think of anything else you'd like in the contract, I guess it'd be the contract with the contractor. Get it to us quickly.
Yeah, as quick as possible.
Yes. Yeah. Anything you can think of that we're not thinking of, but I think Tim pretty much thought of a lot of stuff. You thought of a lot of stuff. The other thing in the board packets too is there's a Donahue wanted to know if we wanted to do an agreement with them and they would oversee the project. But you can talk more to that, Matt.
I do have the, and Tim will come and talk about that. There's construction administration and construction observation. The observation can be as much or as little as we need. Same way with the construction administration. There are certain things that would be helpful to have the engineers oversee. The shop drawings, to make sure that everything is going to be built in the plant that they had spec'd out. Change order review, that's if, you know, the contractor comes in and says this pump is equivalent to this pump, and that way they can take a look at that and verify that the, those pumps would be the same.
On here.
But if you want to look through this, that is the most up to date, and that first page is double sided. So, like I said, Tim will come and talk more about that if or if you have questions.
There's no rush on that. So.
Right. I did call, I called last week to R&R Services. They're the ones that did the brush cleanup last year at the dump. I hadn't received a call back, so I called him again today. Spoke with Jeff, and his thought, we probably have about the same amount of brush as we did last year, so it'd probably be about the same price that way. The other thing that I did ask about was for them to haul, this will be an extra, a separate item that they would give us a price on, to haul the leaves away. So they're going to give that, give us a price on that as well. So, and hopefully by next meeting, I'll have a quote on that. So, he thought probably later this week, so. The other thing I had in there, I included some photos of, there's two bucket trucks. Those trucks, and after I talked to him, those trucks are still in service. That's why they look like they do. They had another truck that came in. They cleaned it up, painted it, did what they needed to with it. I think that truck is already sold. So, the bucket truck we have now, it's pretty much on its last leg. Transmission leaks terrible. Transmission slips. The engine uses oil. The auxiliary engine that runs the lift is in bad shape. It's old enough, it's getting hard to get parts for. And we all, because Brad was the one that looked through all this, and the front suspension is about shot. That truck is about 23 years old. If we start putting money in it, I don't think we'll ever get it out of that truck. So I just wanted to put this in there. The salesman for Drake Scruggs thought that those trucks would probably be available into February, into March. So those probably aren't the only trucks that they'll have, but it looked like a good option for what we're needing.
To put it in perspective, what does a new truck look like as far as price?
You're probably talking over $100,000.
That's why I asked the same question. Didn't someone just bought some, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and they're $85,000?
Savoy,
and it was, yeah, like eight, that was like 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah,
and it was like $85,000 for a brand new truck,
depending on how you spec one out.
Yeah.
And what all do we use a bucket truck for?
Tree trimming, Christmas lights,
flags.
Thank you.
Flags. Yeah. It's not something that we use every day, but it's a safety thing too. If it's not safe to be in, not putting my guys in it. So, and with these trucks, they're heavier. They can still pull, you know, the leaf back. They can pull pretty much anything we have,
mm-hmm,
and then you still have a bigger truck to use that way as well.
So. How often do you say we use bucket trucks?
Right now, not very much. Summer, definitely more. Like I said, tree trimming. Usually around the beginning of school, and this year we didn't, but the bus barn, they'll usually call us, say, hey, we got, you know, this is our bus routes. these are areas we need trees trimmed back. So, one of the other things, this is a taller boom on this truck. That way we could possibly get away from maybe hiring out as many trees as we do. We might be able to handle a little bit more than what we do right now. Last thing I did want to bring up, the Illinois Rural Water Conference is coming up in February, and the full conference rate is $175. I think there's that in the budget for conference fees, so.
You think?
You haven't used any conferences.
I haven't.
So, yeah.
I think there's usually about $1,000 in there.
I think every department was getting two. I think we might have that back to 1,000, yeah. But.
When is it?
February 18th to the 14th. It would probably be 2 days that I would go. I just drive down for the day, each day, so.
Perfect. And I helped fix the bucket truck on Monday. Well, actually, I stood there while they were fixing it.
That's not exactly helping fix it, Rob.
That's kind of in their way to get moving around.
On that bucket truck too, that door in the bucket does not latch. If you lean against it, you're gone.
Well, that motor is in pretty rough shape.
Are you tied in?
Yes, but that's nevertheless, that door should not open. There's a cable that goes across it to keep it closed. But that door
No, are you in a harness?
Yes.
Okay.
But that still, that will scare you. In that harness, you lean up against that thing and that thing comes out and you're going over. Of course, yeah, you're stuck with the harness, but it still scares you. Mm-hmm. That's a safety issue.
Well, that's the other thing with these buckets. There's no door. You got to crawl into the bucket, so there's no door that's going to come open on you. So.
Anything else, Matthew?
Any questions for me?
Anything?
Okay.
Perfect.
Do you have money in the budget to purchase one of these?
Probably not until next year's budget. That's okay. What I was going to see if we could trade the truck, current bucket truck in, and then push that back to May.
So we'd pay for it in May?
Yeah.
We
but we can't receive it until May if we're going to pay for it in May. If we receive it before May, we have to pay for it in this fiscal year.
Why?
Because we took possession of it in this fiscal year.
We didn't do it with the end loader.
Yeah, we did.
No, we traded the old end loader off, and then we didn't pay for it until the next.
That's kind of the thought process I had on this as well. Is the trade-in would be that first payment for the.
So. The trade-in for the end loader was the first payment in this fiscal year.
Yes.
And that's the same
right.
thing we're
so
going to do with this one.
So that's different than not paying for it until the next fiscal year.
Okay.
So if we receive it in this fiscal year, we have to account for it in this fiscal year.
Then these trucks will not be available.
How much do you think you're going to get for this other truck?
$100.
Probably no more than 2,000.
Okay.
Yes.
And that was one of the things I did want the salesman to bring that truck over on a Monday. If Rob was here and Brad was here, he could look over it, and then he could value our truck and kind of come up with a trade value that way. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
All right. Police department have anything? You're welcome to stay right back there. You look miserable.
I feel better.
You feel better?
But I'm still contagious.
Do you have any bills? Questions about bills? I need a
motion. The rental city bill, we didn't pay that last time, right? Because I've seen that a few times. We're getting bills put in the previous board's packet, but then we're also seeing them in this, the next board packet.
I signed a rental city check last time.
There wasn't one on the list, on the council list that I saw.
It may be like the pick ticket on the one and then.
No, these are the same, the exact same bills are in the exact same stamp, January 2nd, received January 2nd and all.
Actually, my signature's on the back.
Yeah, this one. I was checking it again to see if it was on here, but I didn't see it. I've seen that a couple other times. But I could have sworn there was a.
Unless it was, it came in that Friday, or that, like, that next Monday, and she put it in the packet, not knowing.
Okay.
Because anything that is there Friday is what goes in your packets, and, like, even yesterday she asked me about, a bill, hey, should I put this in the packet, or wait until next week, so then I wait until next week.
Okay.
That could be a.
Oops.
I'm not sure. But, no, because when I, go to write the check, it's already been paid, then it would have come up.
Okay. It just caused confusion for me.
So it's in there this time, right?
It's in there this time.
Already signed?
Ready to be signed. It's not signed yet.
The 2083?
Yeah. I found it and dug it out.
All right, any other questions about bills? Just need a motion.
Motion to approve bills as presented.
A second?
Second.
Roll call.
Pluppo?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
I did not see any sewer credits, is there any?
There is one.
Is there? I just didn't go far enough. Oh, there it is. I didn't click. All right, need a motion for the sewer credit.
Motion to approve the sewer credit in the amount of $44.59 for account 301-21000.
Need a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Pluppo?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, regular session minutes, January 7th, 2020.
Motion to approve minutes from January 7th.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Perfect. All right. Are you ready to proceed on the next one, the new business? Or do you want executive session for that?
We should probably go to executive session first.
Okay. All right.
Do we have any information on the old business item?
I think it's just as we're reviewing it. I've been busy.
Oh, never mind.
First.
I actually checked it off. No, I. It is. You have some more input on the policy thing, so we're that's kind of a work in progress. It's going to stay on here. Everybody, look at it. Put your 2 cents in. Only heard from one board member on 2 cents.
That'd be you.
Yeah. No, you actually read it.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put my changes in there. Mark, I wanted to ask, is there anything specifically we have to include in our employee handbooks? Like, is there a certain amount of articles? Because when I did my research, there's a few townships that have a 28-page, and then there's a few townships that have a 128-page.
Yeah.
So is there something specifically we have?
More
is
better?
Well,
no.
Less is better, but.
Oh, okay.
That's a true lawyer right there.
I am
of the opinion that shorter is better because it's easier to understand and we can actually follow it better. If you put a bunch of detail in it and then you don't follow it, then the detail gets used in court to
right.
cause you problems.
Right.
So you have to have something you can follow. There are a core number of things that you really need to have in there. So there's statutory requirements that you have a sexual harassment policy,
sure.
things like that. There are other things that are kind of optional, but it would be surprising if you didn't put it in, like a drug policy. So there is kind of a checklist of stuff that you're normally going to see.
Where would I?
And we've got an existing policy, and if you looked at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
All right.
So we're trying to see what we can.
To try to shrink that?
To try to change it, add it, shrink it, be more specific
succinct.
On some, yeah, on some areas and not on the others. So we're just kind of, I just want to make sure before I go all into depth of looking it all over.
Well, you're also welcome to correspond with Mark, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, the one that you're looking at is probably 10 to 14 years old and would have been tweaked 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
It's before I got on the board.
No, because it was tweaked after I got on the board.
I mean, it's gotten tweaked every once in a while. So it's
came
probably,
in
by village standards, it's pretty current. The only thing that's really new that we haven't really integrated into it is the cannabis stuff, but that's not going to be particularly troublesome to do. And anytime we've had a legislative mandate, it's gotten put into the document you've got. So I would kind of start with what we've got and edit the heck out of it and change anything that you like. That's kind of easy for me to say because
sure.
everyone having to go through it, but that's probably a pretty good concept because we put a lot of effort into looking at it. We've had two kind of, I would describe them as significant labor lawyers who worked for the village over the past two decades who worked on it. So people that were smarter on this topic than I am, who looked at it. So there's some good stuff in there. But that said, it's got to work the way you want to work it. So that's why you're going through it, and that's why you pick it apart. And you're welcome to call me, and we can walk through something together and
okay.
see what kind of mess we can make.
Okay. I just want to make sure before I
yep.
Have fun. Have fun with it. All right. So the codification is actually done. The books are at the village hall. We actually have a CD, which nobody has CD drivers anymore.
Speak for yourself.
Exactly.
My computer at work does. Does he have a digital copy for the web?
Not yet. We have to pass it first. And then he'll get a link from American
from
Legal.
To
once we pass it, correct? Let me correct me if
I'm wrong. There's a link to their website,
right?
We have
the link.
Yeah.
We just have to pass.
So as soon as we pass this codification, then we can do
it'll go to their web. We'll be linking to their website for it.
Exactly.
Kind of like Unicy Code and all those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which should probably be better because it'll be easier to.
Yes.
There are a few things we need to change eventually on there once we get the codification done. But we'll also be putting a new, hopefully we'll be voting in next month, the new building ordinances will go in there. They went ahead, the old ones are in there. So that's what they'll be linked to until we get the new ones in.
Is there a reason all these titles are odd numbered? It goes 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. There's no 2, 4, 6.
I wonder that myself.
I don't know.
Is it just as placeholders in case we add something else?
I don't know.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that either, although it's really common when we're doing these to have placeholders, but I've never seen them do it like that. So I haven't seen the whole part of it. We've seen parts that we've to look at, so I'm unaware that that was the case. So I don't have an explanation.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. It's done, and as soon as we pass this, we can get it on our website. Like I said, there's a few things we're going to have to change and take out eventually. We still have the concealed carry law in there. That's like a $5 to $15 fine. Get caught carrying a concealed weapon in the village. So, let's take that.
So don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. So, questions? Comments? Concerns? Would you like to pass the ordinance? And then we'll be codified. And we have extra books. I meant to bring one and bring it in here and I forgot.
I have one made up for it here and for Mark and I forgot.
Yeah.
Do we have one for Justin? We're just gonna call him on?
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin will have one. Yeah. He can't have it today.
He already has it.
Does he already have it? I think I'm gonna have Rena try to, unless you have time to do it, make a cheat sheet of the ordinances. So you can have like a little cheat sheet of where you can go through and if you write city ordinances. We used to have something like that.
Yeah, I
have a new one that's updated with the current ones and the fines and
that would be nice.
So
most people do like a short form.
Yeah.
Just check the box, it's this ordinance.
That's that would be like what you just said, if you want to do a short form and just have it actually made up and you can just fill out the paper and hand it to them, be copies, carbon copies.
All right. To approve ordinance 2020-0-2 as presented.
I need a second.
Second.
This roll call? All right, roll call.
Puffo?
Yes.
Seen?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right. Nothing really new on the nuisance files. There's one special event in here, but why is it?
They need a liquor license?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looked at it. Apparently I'm not going to. There we go. There. Oh.
St. Patrick Church?
Yep. They do that every year. Alright. I need a motion to approve the special event. St. Patrick's, so they can have a liquor license for that night.
You mean for
PTO?
Unity PTO.
Motion to approve special event permit for Unity West PTO, Sharon Baxley, coordinator, on what the date go? 3/6 of 2020.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
So they're going to ask, because you guys have done them in the past.
Oh.
Can
I amend
to waive their fee?
Amend it to waive the fee. School.
All right. I need a roll call for that one. I need a second on that to waive the fee.
Second.
Okay, now I need a roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, anything else I missed? Anything else for the good of the order before we go to executive session?
It's
50.
Yeah.
41
now.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. I need a motion.
Motion to go into executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees. 5 ILCS 120/C. /2C1.
Second.
Buffo?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, we're in recess for a minute.